Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I hope you know in the book of Revelation that one of the things that followed the realm death, who rode on the dark black horse. The Bible says, and there was one who sat on the black horse and was moving, and his name was death. And some things followed him. One of the things that followed him was poverty, hunger. As a subset in the realm of death is hunger. Meaning poverty is part of the realm death. And poverty is not the manifestation yet of lack. It is a mindset yet. If you give a poor man 50 million, he will still be poor. I know some of you have heard that thing and say, God forbid, give me first, make you see. You'll be amazed. You think 50 million is so much money to you, hold it. You know, some of you who used to collect 60,000 as salary think that if God gave you 100,000 or 150, you are made. For a moment yet, you'll be comfortable till God gave you. Now you complain more than everybody. This 150, since sin will come, you know, it is in the tenable region that they improve it to 150. Now any small thing, tenable just saves us from the issue. Now we don't want that tenable regime, so it won't work. You know, we don't want that tenable regime, so I can't pay you. You know. And you think if they improve it to 500,000, you are made. Till they give you 500,000, knees will not choke. Knees go choke. You see, as long as you have that mindset, money will never be enough for you. Money will never be enough for you. A poor man giving 50 million will still be poor. And if you trace any poor man, look for any poor man, you will see a man that does not have gratitude. Help me find anybody that is poor. Search their life very well. They don't know how to say thank you. You see this thank you say, it doesn't only work for God. Has anybody ever told you thank you before and it made you feel like you should do more for them? It works for everybody. What works for God works everywhere. If you learn to tell people thank you, you know, have you met some people that can embarrass you with thank you? Have you met people like that? You've not even started the thing yet, they have said thank you like 20 times. You now did it, they now add it 40 times. 2 years later, they are still telling you, they just see you, they will reference the thank you first. Again, I want to thank you for the last time. You always want to do something for them. You just think they are wonderful people. Truly, they are wonderful people. But there are some who always complain. And that is why, like the children of Israel, they never see good. Because if the children of Israel were full of gratitude, they will learn to give God praise and keep their mouth shut when they've not seen the hand of God yet. Because they can trace his power to the last miracle and know that he can do it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if he did it before, he can do it today. What's the connection between God healing my mom of cancer and giving me food to eat? Think about it. If you find no connection, you need help. If God can get into your mom's system when you prayed and heal her of cancer, why will he not give you fried rice? Why will he not give you beans to eat? Yes, beans and bread. Does he give beans and gari? Probably. He will give you anything you want. But again, I think the reason why people are still in lack is the fact that instead of trusting God for a factory, they are trusting God for one loaf of bread. If God made you in his image and likeness, when you say some things, he doesn't think you are talking to him. Some things to him is not prayer. It is a joke. Father, give me bread. Give me bread. Give me bread. And it's like, what a factory. You know, I told you this story of somebody. What was that company's name? Was it Benz? five rich guys, and someone came and said, how long will it take you to buy Benz? And one of them said, 1 month. The other one said, 2 days. The other one said, today. And all of them gave their answer, just for a week. Then the last one said, 3 years' time. And he said, but you have a lot of money, you are made. He said, I thought you meant the company. And look at the mindset. He said, I thought you meant the company. Because why do I have seen one car? He's seen what? He has strained his heart like that. Is it one thing God does that I know? I was telling my guys around me in tech. I said, God will throw an opportunity and say, you will manage the opportunity. Again, I'm trying to make another point. And I asked them one of the nights we were walking our life out. They almost wanted to die that night. And I said, this project, you must achieve it before you die. Even before you die, you achieve this project. You know, they think they know tech. They know programming. So I brought them into another realm. There was one project we were dealing with. The project deals with anybody. Doesn't matter how much good you are, it will deal with you. It took Donald 3 days. It took Betty 2.5 days. Hallelujah to Jesus. I don't know whether Benjamin has figured it out, but I've given courage his own too. I mean, they gathered their head for 2 days. Different brain. And the thing still say, when I go see something. It was one night when Mercy lost that it didn't work. I think on a Sunday evening. No, I'm not trying to shade Mercy. Like after Mercy lost, then the thing worked. I'm just trying to reference when it worked. Are we together? So that you don't get offended with me. For some of you. Hallelujah. Remember now, immediately they scored. He now shouted, it has worked. So we're wondering why is a Mercy fan shouting, hey! He said, no, Dad, not for the goal. It has worked. All right. And the day King Nebuchadnezzar died. All right. So now we're going somewhere. I don't know why Mercy fans get very irritated, easily irritated. But get the message, I'm a pastor, right? And I have a word from the Lord for you. Don't allow anything get you offended. All right. So we're going somewhere. So while we're doing it, I told them something. I said, it's difficult, yeah? They say, yes. So okay, we're still going to do it. And I believe in you guys, your brain can get this thing done. It can get it done. Till we got the first one, we got the second one, and we're still going to get more because the accounts are very much. So, and I said to them, I said, years ago, over 3 years, I was sitting here praying, and the Lord told me, Petra ICT Hub. And I have no intention to delve into tech. Even though I love tech from my final year, I delved into a topic called artificial intelligence, to be specific, recurrent neural networks. And I was so excited about it, cognition models and etc. So I got so excited and inquisitive. And I said to my wife one time, she was even laughing. I said, if I ever do tech again, I will delve into artificial intelligence and I'll do masters in it. But I don't have the time. Let me just finish and open my Bible school and raise more people. You know, until the Lord spoke to me about, now that doesn't stop my Bible school vision and etc. About, you know, delving into tech. And my niche specifically in tech is artificial intelligence. I have more interest there. Hallelujah to Jesus. To me, I feel like I've started my masters already. So, it's just to study physically that is the problem now. I don't know how we share that time, but somehow God will speak and I will know when to start. So I told them, I said, did you pray? Now, firstly, I just reminded them. I said, you all are who you are today because I heard God say Petra ICT Hub years ago. And interestingly, you are all wonderful programmers, techies. Most of them are senior developers in their company. So I said to them, it all started when God spoke just one word. So I now asked them, do you think God wants us to stop there at this level? And they said, no. I said, do you think God wants us to go higher? Because it can only get better in God. It doesn't come down. For the path of the just is like a what? Shining light. That shines what? So it should be better, isn't it? They say yes. I said, that's why we'll crack our head. Because if God just opens and says, this is the solution, we'll not be wise. We have to interface via hard work with that solution and get mature in understanding the solution as we dare to understand that solution. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's what God wants us to. That's why he gave us the mind. The mind is for research. The Bible says it is in the glory of kings to search matters. So I say, search this thing till you get the solution. And thank God we got two solutions yet. A lot of people, if I call the project, I'm not trying to brag, but a lot of people have not gotten one solution. One. So I said to them, finally, because I watch the, I am in the community where I hear about the project and people are crying about the project. All I just tell them, I send screenshots that we have done it and people start sending accounts for us to manage. And I sincerely think we are actually even lacking hands for it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I said to them again, I said, did we pray at the beginning of the year? And the Lord told us it is our year of flight. They say yes. I say, now we're in August. Are you still aware that it's your year of flight? They say yes. Now I'm asking the church, are you still aware it's your year? I said, sometimes we are unconscious of what God is doing, and so we don't prepare our hearts. When God starts something, mount up a consciousness. When he says a word, mount up that word as your consciousness. If, for instance, from the beginning of the year, you have mounted up that word and say, it's my year of the flight. I say, people that fly, fly alone. There must be some sort of season of isolation for the flight to occur. And I said, this is the season of that isolation. I said, if you truly are awaiting a flight this year, you must be so sensitive to what God is doing. So that when an opportunity comes, you say, God, could it be this reason? Is this probably the reason? Is this probably the means through which you caused me to fly? I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. If I told you I'm coming by 8 p.m. to your house, you probably will be awake. And if you hear one knock, you rush to the door by 7:40 something. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And maybe 8:40 something should in case I come late. All right? And you'll be wondering if it's Pastor Simon. Because he actually said he's coming by what? 8 p.m. So you'll be conscious, you know, of the fact that I'm coming, and that is why you'll be what? Anticipating my coming, and that will make sure you are very sensitive to anything at your gate. Any noise at your gate. Anything you hear now. If you are not expecting me, do you know you may have not noticed some kind of things at your gate? But because you are expecting me, you will notice every sound at your gate. Almost every sound. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And I said to them, that's how it works. If God said it's our year of the flight, we have to be sensitive. So that when an opportunity comes, you see, that sensitivity will make sure we don't misuse opportunities when they come. Such that when an opportunity comes, we can just take it and begin to use it, maximize it more effectively, very efficiently, because we were waiting, we were anticipating a flight this year. And that's why I told them, I said, learn not to manage useless seasons, mismanage seasons. This probably is your season of the flight. But it's not coming in an obvious way. An angel will not come and sit down. Boom! Hello! This is your season of the flight. No. God has said it. And that's why Abraham spoke to the rich man. The rich man said, send somebody to go and tell my brothers that money is not everything. That they should serve Jesus. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Abraham told him, he said, even if I send anybody, they will not stay here. What they need is not an encounter. Contrary to some teachings you hear today, you need an encounter, blah, blah, blah. Abraham said, if what was written and said by Moses and the prophet was not enough for them, not even an encounter today will help them. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? In other words, God doesn't think that he needs to give you a special experience for you to understand that you are in your season of the breakthrough. He thinks that his word is enough. In other words, if you are hearing the word and harden not your heart and really believe the word of God, today can be your season of turnaround. It must not be a special experience. Boom, bang, 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 bang. Mm-mm. The prophet Isaiah in scripture, the Bible said he was anticipating God through a whirlwind. When the whirlwind came, God was not in the wind. A storm, he was anticipating God. When it came through a storm, when the storm came, God was not in the storm. He said when he just became tired and just sat down, normal oxygen and carbon dioxide that flows, normal wind, regular passage of time, God just manifested himself the way it was normal for him. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Not in a special way, not in a unique way. He's so God-minded. And after all, he sends the presence of God. Not in a strange way, just in a normal way. He was just sitting and resting and taking in oxygen and taking out carbon dioxide. And he sensed God. And he was like, God, you did not come in a dramatic way. The character of God chiefly is that he doesn't come in dramatic ways. Because if he comes in dramatic ways, a lot of times you will claim to be humble and wise. You know, you will pretend. You will pretend. God wants to know if you are truly humble. So the way he comes is not in a way that you obviously pick and tell that that's God. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Take for instance a beggar on the road. Somebody really needs money. I'm sure if your eyes are open and you see that if you give that money, your life will change. You would have given the money. God does not do like that. He has said in his word that he adores eternally the religion of giving alms and giving to his work. Is that not what he said in the book of James? Meaning, don't wait for God to give to the things of God or give to people in need. God calls that a justified religion. Alright? In other words, anytime you see people you can help, help them. Alright? He has said it in his word. But if God wants to be giving us special word for the help we are giving or the things we are giving to church, everybody will be giving when they hear that special word. I give now. This is your time of the breakthrough. And imagine you now give in that accord and it becomes your time of the breakthrough. You are not actually a good person. You are actually a greedy person. You give because of what you want to what? Receive. God wants you to give. Alright? Not just to the things of God, even to people in need. To give and let giving become your lifestyle. Not because there's something in the back for you. He wants giving to be you to be giving. He wants you to and giving to be one. It should be natural to you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you only always give and expecting to receive, you are not a good Christian. In fact, the Bible speaks about a particular kind of giving. It says, cast your bread upon the waters. It says, in many seasons it shall come back to you. Have you ever carried bread and throw inside River Benue before? Dry bread, just press it, pour it inside River Benue, and be anticipating that you will remove it one day. Is it possible? It's never possible. You can't tell where that bread will go to. God calls a particular kind of giving that way. He described it that way in scripture. In other words, at some point, if you want to help people in life, it will be as if you are wasting the money you are giving. Have you been in that point before in your life? You are wondering, this person, how can he repay me? He does not look like his generation can ever be rich. But God wants you to give for giving's sake. Give because that's who you are. I was sitting somewhere and I told some Christians, if you only give because of what God should do for you, you are a fake Christian. And we're wondering, I've seen Christians, they've grown religiously to only give to the things of God. And it's not bad to give to the things of God. They give to the things of God anticipating that when they sow, their children will be protected. When they sow, their business will grow. When they sow, but they are very greedy when it comes to helping people in the world. In fact, they want some people to bear Christian names before they help them. What's your name? Jamilu, get out from my front. You killers. Before he was named Jamilu, he was God's image and likeness. Or he is God's image and likeness. Now, you are not helping him to push Islamic agenda. You are helping him because he is in need. When you are reading the Bible, did God say when you see anybody in need that is bearing the name Jamilu, walk away? Did God say that? He said, if you see somebody in need, I'm sure we are not all excited with, chiefly excited with the other religion. Not because they are all useless or because they are all foolish, but because we are disappointed in some things happening in the nation today. Are we together? But the truth is that there are nice people there too. And I've always been saying it. I can't pretend that I don't know nice Muslims. Till today, I have wonderful Muslims as friends. I don't know whether because of where I grew up in the barracks, but I have wonderful Muslims as friends. That I can tell you will send me money if I tell them give me 200,000. They will send it for me. We are that close. One of my best friends is a wonderful footballer. We talk almost every day. My wife hears us talking. And sometimes she's wondering, who is that? She'll come and check the name and see the name and be wondering. The way we are talking, he'll be reminding me of things, I'll be reminding him of things. And they don't buy into these ideologies. Are we together? So you can't generalize it. You know, it's so difficult to believe, but they are actually good Fulanis. I know sometimes when we say it, we get offended. I'm not supporting the militias, I mean, whatsoever they call them, the ones that are killing people. They're actually foolish. But do you know they're actually good ones? A Fulani, one Fulani is my spiritual daughter. I have a Fulani spiritual daughter. So should I say Fulanis are useless and say, get out of my phone, you useless daughter in the faith? Her dad is Fulani, her mom is thief. So who is she? Fulani. But she's a wonderful person. Hallelujah to Jesus. She's a Christian. Have you not seen Fulani preachers before? If you have not seen me, I've seen you. You have not seen Fulani preachers preaching the gospel. You've not seen it. It's like I'll share that video in our group this evening. They are Fulani preachers preaching Jesus Christ. You have not seen Fulani church before. Oh, you need to see the way they sing. In one accord. Almost competing with TGC. The only problem is that there's no parts. It's just treble. Everybody's in. But they are very excited. You see the way they are moving their neck. And and it's Jesus. And you just be waiting to hear the word Jesus. You just hear Jesus. Jesus. God is entering every sector. You are the one that is looking down on God. He has entered everywhere. Did he say in his word that if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw what? All men. Nobody can reject Jesus. If properly presented, just make sure it's Jesus you are presenting. Nobody can reject him. Are you here this wonderful morning? So I told them, get set for the flight. It is happening. Learn to take opportunities by the hand. And what we've seen for just a month, yet we can tell the hand of God is upon this new face. I told them, don't choke with this. You could turn into millionaires very soon. I'll dedicate all your cars and houses very soon. I was telling them, and by extension, I'm telling you the truth. It's your year of the flight. Can you feel it? Can you see it? Can you sense it? Can you smell it? And that's why you should not be looking dull this morning. Can you sense it? You are not in lack, you are in abundance. There's so much around within, everywhere around you. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, my brother, how is the economy going? Money is everywhere. There is no lack anywhere. There's a mighty, 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 major, mighty supply. Can never walk in lack. I shall never. Me, lack, where's the trace? I can never walk in lack. Now that's faith. It's not foolishness. We declare what to see, not what we see. Abraham rejoiced to see and he saw. You don't see to rejoice. You rejoice to see. In the kingdom, you rejoice to see. The Bible says with joy, we draw. We don't draw with emotional mismanagement. You know, people who that's not how you draw. For joy is the strength of the spirit. Is a proof of strength in the spirit. The Bible said he has given us his word so that his joy is alive in our heart. Meaning the proof that the word of God is alive and the proof that you are in faith is that you are in joy. Because he has given you his word for joy to be static in your heart. And so if the word of God is alive in your heart, you should be excited and be drawing from that realm. So we draw. Don't allow anybody who is boning and praying to intimidate you. It is not God that taught that one. It does not make you a more serious Christian. We are dealing with things. Get excited. Whatever they are doing, they didn't achieve better than Kenneth Hagin, who laughed throughout his service. Go and listen to Papa Kenneth Hagin and see if some of you will not doubt God by looking at him. You know, I'm wondering, are we joking with God here? God is holy. What is happening here? But you see this holy God, when he resurrected, a very serious moment for the disciples. They were mourning. You know, our Savior is gone. We thought, I'm going to be commissioner of this, you minister of that, Peter. After we thought all these things, he not left us. He has gone. And while they are hiding at the top of a building, wondering what will be the outcome of their life now that Jesus is not there, what happened? Somebody just appeared in the room. He disappeared. And you know, sometimes we like to say Jesus climbed. He did not climb step. He disappeared and entered the room. You know, I used to warn you people. This your renewed hope. I mean, renewed generation thinking. Sorry, I said renewed hope. This your new thinking in this new 21st century should not remove, cleanse these dramatic possibilities of God in the spirit. Do you know that in the realm of the spirit, disappearing is an ability of a child of God? You know, sometimes back I heard some people mocking a particular man of God for disappearing. Well, I don't know if they truly disappear, but I'm just trying to make you understand that it is possible to disappear in God. Yes, Jesus disappeared. He's our modus operandi. He disappeared. He entered. Is it Stephen? Philip. Philip disappeared after baptizing the eunuch and presenting the gospel to him. The Bible said the man stood up and started looking for Philip. But Philip, some people say Philip now dodged and ran. What is he running for? Philip, he just raised his head. He could not see Philip, for he has disappeared to another location. And people touch God, though. And it should not be so strange to you. It should be how we should operate. You know, one day I was reading the book. I like to watch the Bible than to read the Bible. You know, I like to watch it. And we're seeing where Stephen, you know, was just sitting somewhere warming himself. And the angel of the Lord told him. Do you know how to hear an angel? Don't lie. Do you know how to hear an angel? Do you know you can hear an angel? He said, you should not settle for diluted Christianity. And as I'm talking, maybe wondering what all this way that they talk. That life where they live better pass this thing where they talk. Don't settle for diluted Christianity. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If these things happened in the Bible and they were on the earth, though, don't think anything that happened in the Bible happened in heaven. It happened on the earth. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And they recorded it for us in the Bible. Philip was sitting down, and an angel appeared and said, Philip, stand up. Go to that so place, high level junction. Wait, there's a man coming with red. For instance, when you see the man preach the gospel to him, the man was a millionaire, a big man. Although Philip had nothing from him, don't be a false prophet. When Philip was done, he left. The man too left. No even honorarium. Hallelujah to Jesus. But this is the point. When Philip went there and stood, as the angel instructed, I couldn't help. I was just praying in the Holy Ghost. Then, that man was passing. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he was reading something. And while he was reading it, Philip said, what are you reading? Do you understand what you are reading? He said, no, he has been wondering how to understand. He said, the Lord told me to come and explain it to you. That's not a coincidence. And he began to explain. And when he was done, because his heart was already looking for truth, God had to send somebody, because what can a man give in exchange of his soul? God can do anything for you, for us, the whole church, just to win one soul. I was sharing somewhere and I told somebody, a lady was preparing, she has heard of our church, they recommended our church, she received Jesus in her room, they had recommended our church, so she was just watching online, and she said she was passing sometimes, she saw the billboard, but she was just, you know, dragging her legs, she wanted to come, but one of those days, we now announced evangelism. That Saturday when we were talking to our neighbor, because they have been talking about our church without attending yet, the neighbor said, now, even though I'm not a child of God, I know these people came because of you. Come out and meet your church members. And he came out, and while they finished talking to her, she just knew God wanted her here. She's a member today. Hallelujah to Jesus. I was talking to somebody. I said, probably we went out just for that person that day. And it is justified. The Bible says, for one soul, there is a great joy in heaven. Over one soul, heaven throws a party. They cook rice for one soul. So what should we not do for people to come to Kabod? What kind of buses should we not rent or buy? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Do we need to spend money for the transportation? Yes. And when we finish spending, it was just one that received. It is justified. If we spend over 20 million and one received Jesus, it's still justified. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? That's how it is. That's how you should see life. Is that necessary? It is very necessary. When it involves one soul, it is necessary. So we draw from the wells of salvation. Not with fear. Try God. If you desire mastery, yet no crown, how do you strive? Lawfully follow the laws. If you cry and pray, you will not see results. Now force yourself to be excited while praying. Because Satan will make sure you are not excited. He wants you to break the law. And you don't just form joy. Joy erupts through a mechanism. What's that mechanism? Studying the word. Setting your gaze on the word of Jesus. He said, if you set your gaze on my word, he said, I will erupt joy from your heart. In other words, the only way to contact joy, for joy to be erupted from the heart of a believer, is when he reads the word. When he reads the word. You can't read the word and not be excited. Have you been there before? You were not excited when you read the word? It's not possible. Anytime I read the word, I always feel like, but I've preached this thing before. It always gets me excited, even though I've preached it before. You need to see me hearing me on my TV sometimes. You know, people are around now, so I don't want to embarrass myself. But you need to. My wife used to catch me sometimes. I'm listening to myself and jumping. Hey! Glory to God. Because I know that's the word of God I just heard. And it's getting me so excited. Super excited. And I erupt in prayers. Because it's the word that I came in contact with. Are you listening to me? And so when that joy, holy joy, is shared, you stop seeing all the vain things, all the failures. You only see the victory. Jesus. We may have not seen all things subjected yet, but we see Jesus. Jesus. We see the word. We see the reality. Eyes are set there. And suddenly there's a potential difference that will push us towards achieving what we are setting our gaze on. Set your gaze on Jesus, and whatever is happening around you will not work. As they set their eyes on Jesus, the serpent that bit them, the effect could not be recognized again. It was not manifesting in their body. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You want to get out of this addiction, set your gaze on Jesus. Stop trying to solve the addiction. If you set your gaze on Jesus, the effect of Satan will die off. People may see the scar, they can't see the effect. You will not experience the effect. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The danger of despising small beginnings. Looking down what remains traps you in bitterness and paralyzes your faith. Paralyzes your faith. Looking down what remains sometimes, it traps you in bitterness. It paralyzes your faith. Oh, I meant well for this business, but look at what has happened. It is all tattered. It is all scattered. God. Now, your tears are logically justified. But God expects more from you. He's pleased by faith. He's pleased by faith. It may be so painful, and for a moment, one drop of tears may fall from your eyes because you truly meant better for this business. But what do? You don't cry and stop there, else Lazarus will still be in the tomb. When you are done crying, you mount up, clean your tears, and you look at the situation and shout, Lazarus, come out. But before Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, you know Jesus did something? He said, roll off the stone. In other words, before you command the business to work, rent another shop and start again. I'm going to start again. You are ready to start again. I'm going to start with a new strategy. I'm going to start with something new. Roll off the stone. The thing just died. Just 3 days. Roll off the stone. And somebody is saying, so Pastor, after 3 days, we should roll off the stone? No, after the understanding of the third day, roll off the stone. And now that you know what Jesus has done, go roll off the stone. Because what Jesus has done is too big for the business not to. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit has quickened your mortal bodies. I would say, but it's just my body and everything around you. Bible says the Spirit of the Lord that is within us today is a life-giving spirit. I mean, we dish out life to dead things, dead situation. Say, I dish out life. The first man is of the earth early, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. As we bore the image of the first man, so are we bearing. I'm bearing the image of the second man. Shout it out. I am not Johnson from the barracks. Liko Palatia. No, I'm not Jemilu from Kano. No, I am not so person from Away Street. That's not all to me. I am God's image and likeness. That's who I am. That's who I am. I may have been altered. My identity may have been altered because of where I grew. So now I'm thinking I'm a cultist. I'm thinking I'm a drunkard. You are not a cultist. Think about it. Don't you feel like laughing right now if you're a cultist? God never created you to shout, "Ayes, man." Who goes you, man? Think about it for a moment. You think God wasted his time for you to come and say, I kill you. Who goes, I kill you, I kill you? That's camouflage. You know, I told you something years ago when I came from barracks and I came to BSU and I was very angry that I was in BSU. And one day in my compound, I came outside and somebody was passing. He just came to our compound. I don't know who he was looking for. He came and shouted, "Ayes, man!" And I said, "Good morning." So I was going to the side. He said, "Who goes you, man?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So I kept on trying to wash my clothes. He now came and touched me. I said, "Hey, I'll beat you up." He said, "Who goes you?" He now hit my chest. Boom! They've never hit my chest like that before. And I said, "You're not hearing me." "Okay." And I raise him up and hit him, boom, on the ground. "See, what are you shouting?" "Ah, yes, man." I said, "What is it? Been over?" "Yes, man. I'll beat you up if you try this rubbish again." Guess what happened? He now went and called other boys. They now came. So when all of them saw me, they said, "Ah, who is the person?" They now pointed me. The boys now said, "We know this boy in this area now. Why did you have a problem with the boy?" I said, "I don't know. He came here and was shouting, ah, yes, man. And he hit me on my chest. And I beat him up." The other guy said, "Let's go." And that's how they left. Well, I believe I'm blessed, not lucky. They would have done more. But the point I want to make is this. That's all camouflage. You can be shouting sometimes when you take this thing. Right? You think you are there. You are here. See, you are very here. No. "I will kill anything that comes in my front." Brother, you can't kill anything. No. In fact, when you take those things, you are more weak than you are strong. I hope you know. And you are closer to death than you can imagine. One beautiful kick on the center of your chest, you are gone. If the person knows how to time the kick, you are gone. Because it will choke you. People that smoke can't live long. It's just a matter of time. And the situation. We were playing football. There's this guy that smokes. Alright? And I'm not against people that smoke. I want them to repent. And I'm not for their smoking. So one day, we're playing football. He doesn't play football. He now came and said he wants to play football. So we're surprised. On a Sunday morning. Yeah, on a Sunday morning. Surprise, right? Me too, I played. So, there was a me before now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this guy just started running. They gave him true pass. You know true pass? You put it at the front. Kind of Ronaldo passes. So, the guy, you know, Messi fans are not having it easy in this service. All right. So the guy, yeah, Lord have mercy on us. All right. The guy was moving towards the true pass. And guess what? Before he got to the ball, he just heard his chest, "Oh, my chest." Like a joke. This is a very emotional moment. He just fell down. Before we rushed this guy to carry him and put him on bike and take him, he was not breathing again. Everybody was just moving like we knew he was dead. But we were just moving. You stand for moving sake. Before they got, in fact, he died immediately. Just held his head. "Oh!" And he fell and died. Because within the football, while we're playing, we see that he will stop and do. Now, this is not the first time I've heard. I'm sure some of you would have heard. I've heard several stories like that. You can't be affecting your intestine, your system, your liver, and be expecting to live long. It's not possible. Some people say, you know, you get some kind of drink. Now, poor people, they die of cigarettes. You get some kind of drink. Can two wrongs make right? You are using something. You are smoking. It is affecting your system. You are not taking alcohol. That is also affecting your system to stop what is affecting your system. Why it seems like these other people that have money are living longer is because they, at least the good food they are eating is sustaining them small. A point comes that like all the problem in the world hits you on a day. Boom. They say it just suddenly died. It's not suddenly. The death has been happening for a long time. I know some people will not ask the question, but good people die. That's not the point now, of course. But because good people die, does it mean that you should help Satan kill you first? You know, hear some kind of analogies. Sometimes now, we where they smoke, now they live long past. Thank God you say sometimes. What if you are not the lucky one? Are you listening to me? For the enemy has come, but to what? To what? To what? Anything that steals from you is from the enemy. Anything that kills you is from? Anything that destroys you is from? Alcohol is from? Smoking is from? Gambling is from? I said gambling is from? Think about it. You play Ninja Bed. You are broke. Anybody play Ninja Bed under the sound of my voice, you don't have money. You broke. You go and do sporty, you say you are sure. You are very sure. They sure for football? Like we're very sure Argentina will win, right? At all, FIFA will help them. But you see what happened? That's football. So sorry again, I made a mistake there. Sometimes, you know, even if I was somebody playing bet, gambler, if I saw Argentina and Spain playing World Cup, I would bet for Argentina to win. If, for instance, I was a gambler, because I know at all, red card will come, PK will come, and they'll win. But you see, football, when you do your work well, nobody will deny you the results. I remember years ago in the barrack, I was the captain of my team, we were playing GOC Cup. In the final, the man said, "Una no fi come our barrack, come win GOC Cup. We are the host. You cannot win this cup." Like a joke, they now gave the same person the whistle to blow. We gave a pass. The guy scored. They blow offside. Everybody shouted outside. Don't call Argentina. I don't want a problem, man. Let's respect this guy. Hallelujah to Jesus. Just leave Argentina now. We'll come back to them. Everybody shouted, "Ojoro, Ojoro, Ojoro." The referee said, "Keep on playing." We couldn't stop. In fact, one of my friends got offended. He consciously played the ball. When it was getting to the referee, he now used his two legs to stamp the referee. And it was justified. They did not give him card because he said it was a mistake. You know, somebody was coming to the ball, an opponent. So he now jammed. So the referee was even blowing with one leg having problem. It was that bad. So I had to go. I don't know how God helped me. I was not a serious Christian that time. But I went to them. And our coach was shouting outside, "Mekuna, calm, Papilo, calm down, calm down." So I told all of them, "Calm down, Kusi, calm down." Even though he speak, "Calm down." When we calm down and played these boys football, one of the goals we scored, and I scored, was from the middle. I know you will not believe that I scored that goal. Say, look at this human being. How did he score that goal? Well, I used to score before. It was from the middle of the field. I dribbled and dribbled and dribbled like Cristiano Ronaldo. And when I got... Go, calm down now. Calm down. When I got to the goalkeeper, we used to say tear the net. I tear the net with a very wicked shot. So the ref didn't know what to blow. There is no trace of offside. That's how we won. When we scored that one goal, guess what we did? We went and stayed one line. And we said, "Let's see what will enter this net." Nobody played attack again. Attacker came back, all of us. Everybody started laughing outside. That's how we'll stay. You come, don't try. They could not score. The match was 120 minutes. Meaning they tried their best to help them win. We still won. Hallelujah to Jesus. Many of you play this football very well. What I'm trying to say is that even FIFA cannot be against you. You can see what happened with Spain. Spain were too good to be robbed. They were too excellent. See, we that are against Messi, hey, I'm preaching Thanksgiving, okay? I'm just using this to explain something. Some of you are getting offended. I don't know if some of you want to leave this church, but be patient. I'm almost done. Well, I'm for everybody. Are we together? I'm for everybody. I'm almost done. Just the last part of the service. All right? So where was I, please? Help me, church. All right. Now, we that are open against Messi, we started pitying Argentina. And we said, God, help these people at least to make complete passes. Because the trouble was too much. They were just going, their eyes started turning them, I think, something like that. And we were just tired. 800 passes, 300 passes. It has never happened. This is a serious match. It is final, for goodness sake. And we are seeing that they are pressing these other people. They are suppressing. To a point, I saw a Spanish player chewing chewing gum. It was, I said, why is this guy so... Alright, so... Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. I felt pity for them. They couldn't even play one shot on time. Not to score, because it's not even possible. One shot on target for a final. Jesus, have mercy on us. Alright, so where was I? Are we together? Please don't leave me. I'm here with you. You know the beautiful thing about this is that I'm the only preacher in this church. Nobody can collect mic and talk. Because I know some people are like, Pastor, give me can explain something. You will not explain anything in this place. Now let me go explain. Alright? Are you here this wonderful evening? If you do well, you can't be robbed. What brought us here? Lastly, like I said, I promise you the last point. Faith doesn't deny what was lost. Faith simply chooses to focus on the God who can multiply what remains. Now, let's see the Jesus model. Thanksgiving before the miracle. The Jesus model. In John 6:1-13, 5,000 hungry people, a remote location, a young boy's small lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, the contempt versus the gratitude. Andrew looked at the lunch and asked, but what are they among so many? Looking down what was left. He looked at the 5 loaves too. He said, what are these things among so many? What can it do? Jesus took the same small portion, looked up to heaven and gave thanks. I had a wrong situation I was thinking about middle of the night. And I said, God, why is it that sometimes you try to be the best to people and at the end, it baffles me. You know, I've had Catherine Coleman, before she died, she said, one of the worst experiences or the worst experience she has had in her life is with human beings, that they are flickery in nature. One moment they are doing what is well, another moment, and I smiled. Alright? And so I was just thinking, I said, why does it have to be like that? That somebody who is thinking well, all of a sudden the person begins to think off. In fact, it's not biting the finger that feeds you, it's cutting the hand that fed you. So terrible. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, listen, when people do what is wrong and leave, don't major on them. I am doing what is bigger with the remaining. I said, God, what do you mean by that? He said, I know it's painful, but don't see, you know, I've come to that realization. It doesn't matter how small you are. I don't even see a year one as year one. I see a year one as a vessel. See, when you are ready to always start again, you will never walk in losses. And God will use the remaining to cause a multiplication that will shake the world. Let me tell you what he said in scripture. You all know. He said, if you don't worship me, I will use what? Stones. That's what God promises and says. Some of us, right, we are so full of ingratitude. We behave anyhow. And we want, you know, somehow we just use emotionality to cover it up. I did not come to church because my head was paining me. You know, there are some excuses you can't give at your place of work. Let's be 100% sincere. You can't dare it. You see somebody come with headache and say, sir, I can still manage the headache. Because you wonder if you'll be sacked. But not that we haven't sent Kai the headache and come to church. Some cannot even send an excuse. Sorry, I will miss church because I have headache. There are people like that. And you expect God to be for you every time, even though he really loves you. Somehow God has to give you an experience that will make you understand that what you are doing is bad. He will allow some things to happen so that you will know that this path you are taking is the wrong path. If God allows everything to be working well for you that is thinking wrong, you will never be wise. God wants mature children. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He doesn't just want toddlers. As pastors, we see these things every time. They are advertising evangelism. You are advertising your business. You don't even come for the evangelism. Your business is so important. One day in a week. One day in a week. And you say you are a child of God. Like I always joke, what are you doing in church on a Sunday morning? Go and look for a bowl and smoke. What are you doing in church? I cannot come. I have to open my shop. My body, they pay me. You will soon get to 40. Don't be foolish till you reach 40. You will get to a point your hands cannot do what you are doing right now. You will meet your maker one day. And you will tell him whatever. Give him record of everything you did in this world. Is that what you tell God one day? That the one that opened that business for you, you didn't have time for him again. Then you want him to take you to the nations. Your business is moving forward. You enter early morning prayer. If you like, enter what God does not do, does not exist. It will exist in your life. It's not a curse, it's a truth. Enter Jerry Eze in the morning. Be shouting, what God cannot do, does not exist. Amen, oh, amen. Justified prayers. He's doing wonderful things for the Lord. But on your own head, he go hook. It will pause. Because what a man sows, God says, if you no reap, maybe my name be God. What a man sows, he must reap. He said, else you have mocked me. Why would tell people these things? Sometimes when you have bad seasons in your life, you'll be saying, who do me? I am under a curse, generational curse. It's not generational curse. It is your own generation that is starting with foolishness. And tomorrow you want your great-grandchildren to cite their great-grandmother. You have to wake up. Sometimes we have to be very factual to you. You are not doing well. Understand that. And somebody, people will behave like that, that God can start something for you and you can miss. What if they say 5 Saturdays? What is bad in making it 5 Saturdays? And ending by 10 a.m. and go and open your shop. If it is God in heaven that you came to work for, that person who wants to buy will wait for you to come. And some of you, most times, you won't have people in your shops. That's why God gave you that shop, because he wants you to have time. He didn't put you to be working for somebody. So you can never come to that point where you say, well, everybody close shop, we are going for cupboard. You can't come to that point in your life. I went to a shop one of these days. That's why I always buy all my gadgets in that shop. I don't buy because when I see some things I like, ha, you have finished me. I will refer a billion people there. One Igbo man in, is it Wadata or call it, but where they sell those gadgets, those TV gadgets. I've forgotten that his name. Somebody would have followed me there before. That's why we got our gen and almost everything we buy here, TV and the rest. His name is Chinonso, one of the workers there. Wonderful boy. You always say with his rosary, but that's not the point. I'm just trying to show you so that when you go there, you buy from him too. So I'm advertising. It's not my brother, Chinonso, Simon. On the Hemen. Don't call me the name. Just use Simon. I'm just trying to show you. Hallelujah to Jesus. No relationship. One day I went to the shop. They said they closed the shop. I said, why will you close the shop on a Friday? Say, no, our owner said we should close it. That we should attend church program. So we're in church right now. I said, you close your shop for church program? He said, yes. I said, which church? And he called the church. I said, good. When the church program finished, call me. Let me come and buy. He said, man of God, you want to wait for us? I said, I'm already waiting for you. Whatever we wait, we must wait. I'll buy from your shop. They didn't know why I said. I wanted to encourage such virtue. I waited for them. They came back. I came and bought it. Still referred a lot of people. That's how life should be. You have made all the money in this world. You don't understand that there's no difference between you and that fool that say, rest my soul, I eat. God did it for you. Say, oh yeah, now. Make I start work. Anything church way affect my business, zero. Zero. Don't miss business with pleasure. So it's church now. It's pleasure. I'm talking to all of you here. And if you think I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, the hell you, as your pastor. You have to listen. Let me tell you something you don't know. I was talking to leaders. Before I knew you, I don't know you. You don't know me. What connected us? The calling of God and the work of God. I owe you one thing, to push you to do the work of God. Every other thing I'm doing for you in terms of business, teaching you about that, is secondary. Secondary can never replace what? Primary. Are you guys listening to me? Very important. Nobody should deceive you in this world. There are a lot of useless opinions. I've been telling people every time, it is not gathering in a church every Sunday that makes people Christians. I was trying to teach them yesterday with Christ Embassy. Years ago, the Lord told me, he said, learn administration from Pastor Chris. I learned the word from Prophet Kubus. I plugged him into Christ Embassy and started learning administration. I didn't even know why God said I should learn administration from Pastor Chris. It was looking so tough. I asked a lot of questions to one of their senior pastors that used to be my friend. I'll be asking, but why this? And I was always referred to scripture. So I gathered all the scripture and I created my own document. And I found out that people that talk down administration always cry at the end. But it is not even easy to implement administration. Because some people will misunderstand you as a pastor. And if somebody leaves church and causes trouble before they leave church, why should the person be avoided? I think this is one of the first time I'm speaking about this publicly. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 5, Thessalonians 5. Is it second or first? Paul speaking, he said, anybody that goes against our culture, abstain from them. So you will now say Paul is anti-Christ, anti-God? No, but because bitter people have a way of making you bitter also. You are not against them. But when somebody is bitter and you get close to that person, you become bitter towards the person he's bitter about. There's a way they do it. There's a way Satan achieves that through them. So don't worry, I have it figured out. If you observe, sit against people that hate a particular person. Even though they are not talking against the person, with time you will find out that you are seeing the problems they have about that person. Even though a lot of times those problems are fairy tales. They don't even exist. Give 2 days about this lady and start looking for problem. You see the problem. Satan is always an author of confusion. He always wants you to see problems. If you focus on seeing problem on somebody, you see the problem. And Satan he works strategically. Satan will not cause you to see problem in people who cannot add value to your life. He will always cause you to have problem with people that can add value to your life. So your father, for instance, physically is telling you the truth. Satan will cause you to think your father hates you. Your pastor is telling you the truth. Satan will make you feel like your pastor is this or is that. Not knowing that the Bible even told you. He said, listen as a good child, listen to what? The rebuke. Not the advice yet. It's a rebuke. Meaning when your father said, keep quiet. Shut that mouth here. The Bible says, listen to it. It is justified. Did Jesus not rebuke the disciples? Even our Lord. He rebuked them. He said, keep your mouth shut. You think they had it easy as the disciples and said, nice rebuke. Probably one of them said, why did he shout for us like that? Another one would have said, keep your mouth shut. I'm sure that was Peter. Will you shut that dirty mouth now? But at the end, they shook the world. You come to church, you want us to be giving you ice cream in your mouth. Open, like Shekinah. Open. When I put the ice cream. You come, when they tell you the truth, you get bitter. You now be doing like Shekinah. At 33 years. At 27. And when you go back home, you now kneel down. Father, please, can I have my man this year? 27. I was speaking to a lady one time in my office. Not to share that, but to teach you something. When I heard she misbehaved, I said, how old are you? When she called her age, I said, you are misbehaving like this in church. Are you ready for marriage? She said, yes, sir. They always claim they are not ready, but I know they are ready. I said, when did your mother marry? The mother married a year. You know, she's older than when the mother married. I said, good. That means at this point, you are supposed to be a mother. And I say, is this what you want to teach your children? I say, grow up and behave well. I'm being very factual. This is how I pastor. When you are my pastor, like you are in my front now, you cannot marry nonsense. We vet you to the ultimate. You can't choose anything that comes to your mind. Imagine this man now one day, every time I say, we say, copy that, sir. Consider it done, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Ed, be in Abuja now. Yes, sir. I'm coming, sir. Pastor Ed, be in Kano now. Yes, sir. I'm coming, sir. Pastor Ed, where are you? Be here in 2 minutes. Yes, sir. I'm coming, sir. If you marry rubbish, is it, Papa just called me. Baba, why he call you? Are you mad? Are you not married? How can he call you rubbish? In fact, some is relationship. I don't like the way prophet call you. You know they respect you. You go to the call you like small bikini every time. You be doing copy that. You know get sense. Then the man may start reasoning. You making a point too? I'm telling you facts. Years ago I was pastoring. Yes, I'm pastoring. There's this young man that fell in love with one damsel. And this damsel told him that one of the conditions, you see, the way God helps me to see into things is so strange. So I got to figure out, we saw the message. She said, I love you, but my problem is your father in the faith. I'm not settled with him. I don't like him. You know why she doesn't like me? I defy her, I'm the truth. When you sit in church and you have bad character, it will be as if they are tearing you with razor and putting pepper inside. So she says she does not like me and the rest. So Inan said she should not worry. There are like 5 years left from his agenda with God. And with that time, they will move to the last phase of ministry. And I saw this my boy. I said, no, this is not my boy speaking. It is foolishness that is speaking. So I called him. I said, what is happening with you? He said, nothing. No, one day I came, I saw him crying in church. He knelt down. He's not married. He just lied down. I was crying. So I entered my office. I said, let me see whether this guy is crying about something good. So I was peeping from my window. That was a former venue. He was still crying and rolling on me. I said, this boy is not married. His parents are still alive. He has elder brother. He even asked me, which problem choked this boy that is rolling and disturbing God like this? Abi has catch HIV and AIDS. What is the problem? You know, there's a way you will pray that will be asking you, oh boy, calm down, share the problem first before you meet God. So I called into my office. I say, so, what is your problem with God? What are you wanting God to do? She said, no, nothing, sir. I said, why are you crying? But you see, if you have been in a relationship before, you understand that pain. He was rolling. You see one small pikin of 19 years crying. Why are you not eating favor? Johnson is Johnson. 19 years that people are studying book. You are crying for man. That young man was crying. So when we cut everything and the rest, I say, Thor says the Lord. He say, yes, sir. Go and tell that lady that she is not my will for you. And break up. So say, did you hear God saying it? I heard the Lord speaking through me. And I was flowing. He just went and broke up. When he broke up again, he nearly died. He suffered for a little season. I was very happy seeing him suffer. And after a while, he reignited. You know, the interesting thing is that they will now come and fall in love again as if they never fell in love before. And the lady, it's gone. You know, the most funny part of that story is that the person that was planning the relationship to scatter, the lady now went and married the person. And I said, see who you would have married. Somebody who they are planning, somebody that is planning a relationship to scatter, she now broke up and still went to the person. See, the brain no even today like that. See, who you would have married. There's some kind of people that when you break up with them and they marry, you don't regret. You just say, Iko Allah. Ya Allah, Mungodi. Are you listening to me? If we're not careful, like I was giving Pastor Ed, one day Pastor Ed would say, sir, with all due respect. You know when somebody says with all due respect, your respect has finished. So I told them, as long as I'm Prophet Simon, you will never marry somebody who is not down for the things of God. As a mama, you are beefing church girls. As a pastor's wife, to be sorry. They insult you, revenge. You curse, you say, I will scatter this church if they try me. As a pastor's wife to be. When I hear the story, as I'm solving it, we are sobbing you first. You are going down first. Matam pastor to be. Thank God you are not a pastor's wife already. You are pastors to be. We are serving you for a moment. We'll quarantine you for like 2 years. If marriage is December, we'll make it next 2 years December. And watch you well. Because we can't make that mistake. I send you to a branch, you scatter the branch. I will not take this rubbish. Who goes anybody in this church? As a mom, as a pastor's wife? As a pastor's wife, they offend you, you change them for everybody. Say me, I need to take nonsense. If you do me, I do you. God no go verse. Pastor's wife? You want to scatter church? There are some things you must have. If you are somebody that you must revenge, you don't. If a pastor comes, just say, I beg, carry your wallet, they go. Don't go close to that pastor. Except you want the Holy Spirit to really work on you and you are ready. As a pastor's wife, people are not checking on you, you are angry. Who checks on me and my wife? Who checks? So they did not call me. I know go come to church again. My turn pastor to be. You got to wake up. Don't make wrong choices. And let me be very brutal to you as a woman too. Even though the people are in church, they came to this church because of you this morning. As long as they don't have fire for God, don't marry them. Say, I don't come to your church now. You go accept me. It's not about coming to your church. Marry somebody that you can do life together with. You can serve God together. Not that you finish this world now and God say, what is where did you serve? My husband don't agree me go to church. He said, young man, this nonsense has to stop in this house. Marry, and some of you look down on your brothers in church. That's the problem. In fact, you call them brothers. That's one of your problems. You look at Oche the way he's serving God in church now. Or Courage, or Benjamin. He said, these children are small children. I see them like a brother to me. Really? They are miracle them, all of them. You know they are older than you. Say, Benjamin is like a brother to me. I don't even imagine him. If I imagine that, they make me laugh. Go and work on your imagination. Go imagine them till you take them serious. How do you stop that thing? God has kept some of... See, God cannot keep you in this church. You'll be serving him for a while. And you will not keep your husbands around. God has been bringing your husbands and wife. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you even turn your left and right, you may be seeing your wife now or your husband. But the problem is that some of you used to dream, one day I will see my husband glowing like the stars of heaven, wearing a white buba. And when the picture of Oche comes to your eyes, now because they sing for church, that's why they see. Not be him. It's just my mind. And you want to have a wonderful marriage. A wonderful marriage. Now you are the person that is knocking at your door is an importer exporter. Odogwan of India. Export stout. Import stars. But the lady is on fire for God. She loves the Lord. Now stout you go to share when visitors come to your house. How can it work? You better marry Oche that is just starting car business now. Just marry him like that. Grow with him. Marry Benjamin that is just managing his tech life. Even his 300,000 manager. How many civil servants collect 300,000? Manage it. Grow with the man. Don't say there are two kinds of prostitution. Official and non-official prostitution. Official prostitution is the one that you stand on the road. Oga. That's the official one. The non-official one is, I can't marry him because he doesn't really have a car. His salary is 200,000. How can I cope? Your father is a civil servant. The house he even has now, it is government that gave him. He's paying 3,000 every month. He does not have a house. You are rejecting somebody of 200. Your father's salary just passed that guy's home by 60,000. And you can't start life. And go and check their bed where they haven't slept in some of them. And you are rejecting. That's why some of you go and plug into nonsense. At the end, is your head or use for the last sacrifice? And the guy is made, oh, he's just 27. If you see him bends, oh my God. And he have a good heart. The only problem, you know, they pray in tongues. Maybe everybody's supposed to pray in tongues. Not be serious Christian, but I see like, and God can use anybody. I don't know why in our church we discriminate people. Pastors are be condemned. If you tell Pastor Emmanuel, I go say no be him. We know them. My sister, I beg. Make we move. We move. Other people that are married, are they not enjoying their life? Eh? Are they not enjoying their life? You're in their life now. You're inside their life. Because it is all that glitters that is good. What is hard there to force your husband to come and snap birthday picture and child dedication? You see the men there burning their face. It's the woman that is dancing like this. Is it that the worst happened that you see face?
I've been enjoying this since the beginning of our wedding.
You've been enjoying it and you have been saying in your on his birthday that you have never met a man like that in your life. It is not all that. Trust the Bible. You cannot be unequally what? Yoke with what? Unbelievers. Somebody who doesn't think like you. You can't do life with a person. Don't joke with your life. Marriage does not have graduation. I've told you my own story. When I woke up in the morning, thank God I made the right choice. After the dancing, and I couldn't believe it. Like I was dreaming. I'm saying yes, I do. See the ring. I'm in chains. Immediately, I woke up early in the morning. I just saw somebody by my side looking at me. What are you? I was just like in my heart, what are you doing here? I looked at my house, it has changed. This is not the regular me where I push my legs somewhere and just carry my laptop and start. Everything has changed. I said, wait, how long will this wedding be? This marriage be? It now registered in my heart is forever. I said, hey God. In fact, I asked the question, Lord, am I ready for marriage? And I say, I think so. But more importantly, I thank God for who I chose. Or who you chose for me. If not, you would have heard that I have divorced. Because to live with me is not easy. I coach me anywhere. Coach me anywhere. Me, I know. Nobody needs to tell me. I know. So when my mother used to say it, I used to say, I understand. I understand. First time I cook the food, I saw Father cook the food. You told me you like the soup. When I cook it, you just eat it one time. Give Brillo. Brillo tea is a living thing. Give him. It's a living thing. You know, one time we're talking about food. Thank God. See, always trust God to marry rightly. We're talking about food. And I told my wife categorically, I said, you cook so well. But there's something my mother used to put in soup. I don't know that, you know. Talk to my mom. Tell her that she should tell you what she used to put in that soup. Because that's the soup they grow me, I grow it. Thank God my mom is in Makurdi. She went to, no pride. She said, okay. I could tell she's excited, but she was also wondering. She went there. I don't know where she went, but I know she went. How did I know? Everything changed. The things I had tested like my mother's soup. Now, some people say, I'm not your mother. You must be familiar with my soup. You marry me, not your mother. Leave me alone. Rubbish. We are going to meet a marriage counselor tomorrow. I can't take this rubbish. Just this simple problem, this simple issue. Where was it written that I must change my... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You want this man to eat? Yes. Do what the man is saying. My wife, when we got married, she was so tired. She made one wicked ogbono with a lot of disturbances, obstructions. And when she brought the tea and she felt like, oh my goodness. Yeah, she was just waiting for me to taste it. I just looked at it. I said, this thing is too thick. Say, Pastor Simon. Say, yes. I can't eat this. And I don't know why I don't know how to eat it. I'm not the problem of myself. Myself is the problem. I didn't create myself. God knows that I can't help myself. I can try to stop any problem I have, but how can I try to stop the food I don't like? I don't know how to do it. We can't be trusting God for these kind of irrelevant issues. I told her, please, next time, make it water. Watery. Where I grew up, Ogbono used to be very watery. Very, very watery. We used to just carry the tool and throw inside and we just turn it. And just, because I was used to cooker and things like that. She just like, the next time, I don't even know that she even put Ogbono set. She just put the Ogbono. When she brought the soup, I said, Jesus, Mama, this is one of the best soup I've ever eaten. As I was watching, she said, she was just looking at me. I said, please, more of this. Then I quoted what I told one mama put 2 years ago. I was eating food, the woman answered, I did not pack the soup. And I said, madam, maybe soup was sweet, did they pack? So I told my wife, you see, say you're so sweet, I pack up. You know, we have many differences. Like when my wife likes garlic. I don't know if some of you are in this realm. My wife, when she grew up with garlic realm. In my realm, where I grew up, if you eat garlic, if you smell garlic, you will vomit. That's how I grew. But my wife used to chew garlic. She used to chop up. It did not do as she would put in tea. It did not do as she put it in egusi soup. Egusi. I don't know whether she used to put in draw. Then that's not what you put ginger. So you are fighting ginger and garlic inside particular soup. So while we were dating, the first time she brought it, I pretended. You have to pretend to catch them first. You understand what I'm trying to say? This was nice. I just ate it. I said, wow. Never eaten anything like this in my life. And it's true because I've actually never eaten anything like that in my life. This is nice. Very nice soup. I like it. Say, we'll finish it now. That say, no. I want to pray first. So then I'll eat it later. So justify. She kept the cooler. She left. When she left, I now called for an assembly. I called some of my boys. I said, you should eat this food. She said, Mama T, then they finish. Mama T soup. Jesus Christ. Mama T the cuckoo. Wow. I was yeah. But I'm not in this realm. See, Pastor Simon, how was it? I said. I snapped the cooler snap. I don't know. I think they casted me somehow because they now went and appreciated her for the soup. So she now knew that I was not the one that ate it or something. But now we're good. Because she grew that way. I observe her mom. When the mom comes around, oh my God. The mom is in another realm. Thank God Mama T did not fully enter that realm. I'll just see them cutting carrots. Cook. So anytime I hear the mom around, I just buy carrots, I just buy food. They'll just cut it. So she just carry a toothpick and be carrying the car and be walking. I'll be like, what is the heavy food that will cover the stomach? So no, my mom does not want anything. See, she wants to sleep with carrots. carrots. You know, for some of us that grew in Gargaja places, when you eat carrots, no matter how heavy it is, you are not eating food. Whether it's 20 carrots, bring luam. There's a fulfillment you receive. In fact, there's another higher realm. When you eat rice, if you like, let it be rice and beans. Whether it's 12 midnight, you will still ask your wife, when will you bring real food? No, but you just eat rice and beans. Mm-mm. How can I sleep? Maybe I will die. I will not wake up. Bring the best I've seen in my meat is one. They say cassava. Wait. They'll do cassava. The tea is very scarce. They'll now mix it. The tea will not be drawing. The man will not be eating it. Very delicious. I'll just be admiring. Never bring that close to me. But because of how she grew, that's her realm. In fact, now she has changed into gangster like me because I observe her lately. If you see how she's dealing with some of these things now, I'm influencing her small too. Before she does not eat swallow, but now she deals with swallow. You see, she's a master. She just do like. So you see that we have complimented each other. My daughter, oh my God, Shekinah. Anywhere they are traveling, I told her, I say people travel, you better make sure there's luam for this girl anywhere. Because when you put luam close, she will rush, she will even bite your hand. She like luam. I said, thanking God for the life of my daughter already. That's what I want to be seeing. Not that she will grow tomorrow. Daddy, buy me cheese balls. Say, Daddy, where can we eat swallow? Marry well. Are you listening to me? If what you want to marry is curves and edges, you will suffer. It's not a prediction. It's a truth. Now, imagine 50 years from now, how old will you be? Just think in your mind. 60, 70, etc. Then your wife is sitting before you. What will you see when your wife stand up to go and bring you food? You say, oh, baby, wind that thing. Yes, baby. Yeah. Is that what you will see at 70? You only have to see by faith. You only have to see what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. If not, there is nothing that you will see. The only thing you will be seeing is soul, ideologies. The reason why you will play with her at 70 is because you married her, the real her, not her body. That's why when I see ladies work on their body to attract me, I used to pity them. You attract Shege. They will deal with you very well. So you can say, I'm killing it. And I say, oh, you are glamouring like the star of heaven. I like what I see. A man that will look at you and say, go and pray before we talk. That's the man you should marry. One of my ladies called me and said, Pastor, sir, imagine, oh, it was because I did not do Bible assignment that he said he will not talk to me. I say, imagine, oh, he did that to you. For Bible, he left you. Yes, sir. Am I not more important? I say, let's not go there, but let me call him. I called him. I say, hey, so how is it going? He said, yes, sir, she's not hearing what. I say, so when will you break up with this girl now? She said, I'm just watching. Maybe this week, next week, if she doesn't improve, I'll break up. I now called her back. I've talked to him. He will work on himself. So I said, Pastor Simon, and I saw you be. And her now. Then I told her finally, I said, Bible study is more important than love. He wants you to grow because if he's not around, you will take care of the children. Say, yes, sir. Say, yes. In fact, one of the things he told her, I said, if you do not follow online Bible service, we'll break up. Online Bible service will break up. But he said, yes. I know some of you are thinking because you are more emotional than God. But that thing should not define love now. Those things, you should love me for who I am. Who are you? And who is God? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Love you at the detriment of God? What am I in the world for? Why do I even need you? To help me serve God. Not that I don't like you. I like you to the degree that you help me what? God gave me a helper. He did not give me a model to be doing model for me and TikTok challenge. He gave me a helper. If you cannot help me fulfill the will of God, if I'm not seeing the traces that he can help me, go away. I didn't come to this world to become Mr. Makodi or Mr. Nigeria, and you become Mrs. Nigeria. Are you get what I'm trying to say now? And as a real man, look for somebody that can help you. In any sector, not just ministry. Look for somebody that can what? Add value to your life and life of your children. Sometimes those ones that you are seeing may not have it all figured out. The Lord give you understanding. But you are going to be in faith. And with patience, you inherit the promise. Because everything is malleable. Did you get what I just said the last thing? It is so obvious, but it's a mystery. The ones God will bring sometimes may not have everything figured out. Like the figures and the chess. Dry chess, what the hell is this? And etc. But they have something upstairs. And if you give them good, some ladies here just need good food. If you marry them, give them good food, every glory will be revealed. And the people of God say, ladies, you believe what I've said? You know, some of you are pretending. No problem. Did you have a great time today? All right, so we still have two sessions to finish in. The Holy Surrender. I can tell you categorically we did not succeed today. I've never preached a series this long in my life. But I've been hearing the testimonies. And this is how to keep on growing in the name of Jesus. The next series, which will start probably next Sunday or next upper Sunday, I want you to prepare for it and a flyer for it. It will be glorified to give glory. Glorified to give glory. I've started working on that series already. Glorified to give glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. From John 17. So go and start reading it so that when we're talking, it will make a lot of sense. You bow your heads and thank God for His word. Just bow your heads. Go ahead and thank Him. Hogan at Dodo. Do, do, do. Hogan at Dodo. Do, do. Hogan at Dodo. Do, do, do. Whenever I called, you were there. Whenever I pray, Lord, you hear me. I'm not alone, this I know. What can I bring to you, Lord? But the song of praise, organ at all, do, 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 organ at all, do, do, organ at all, do. For the things you've done for me, Kirito, do, Kirito, for the life you gave.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.